it's been a journey and not everyone's on the same page.
Rowan has mentioned what this law is actually about, and it's about a pro-Israel agenda.
People can still protest.
There's such limited access to power and to politicians. That's the real issue here.
Let's talk. Let's find a way through this. What are we saying?
A controversial bylaw to limit protests outside places of worship, schools, and childcare centers passed at City Council yesterday. Councillor Brad Bradford has been pushing for this bylaw for the last 19 months. Councillors came together to approve the motion 16-9.
There's lots of places to protest in the city, but today I stand here telling you that, you know, we're not going to do it on the doorstep of a mosque or a synagogue when people are going to practice their faith, when they're going to worship, when they're trying to take their kids to daycare. That's not the type of city that we want to live in.
The bylaw allows owners of these institutions to apply to have the city enforce temporary, protest-free zones. Effective July 1st, protesters must keep a 50-meter distance outside any entrance that qualifies. This is an increase to the staff's initial recommendation of 20 meters, a motion successfully moved by Councillor James Pasternak. His initial push to extend the zones to 100 meters did not pass.
Would have preferred to be tougher, but what it was a fairly collaborative effort to have a package that the majority of councillors could support.
City staff say 3,000 buildings in Toronto could qualify for protection under the new bylaw. Councillor Rachel Chernoz-Lynn also made headway on how long access areas would be closed off for. Staff originally proposed a 180-day ban. Chernoz-Lynn's motion doubled that time. Toronto councillors also voted to drop the requirement that building owners had to have been previously targeted by protesters in the past to apply.
But at the end of the day, extending the period from 180 days to a year, I think that's positive, and making sure that it's a straightforward application where you don't have to go through this attestation of being victimized, that was ridiculous, and I'm glad we got that cleaned up.
Though some councillors were able to strengthen the terms of the law, Pasternak says the Toronto ban is still a watered-down version compared to other cities. In Vaughan, Brampton, and Oakville, local councillors passed blanket bans on protests outside all places of worship with no prior application necessary.
But if you look at other municipalities, abortion clinics, and other provisions for bubble zones, they often range from 50 to 100, sometimes 150 meters. So ours is on the smaller side. But we have a very tight urban environment, which makes it hard to push groups out 150 meters. You'll push them right into a neighborhood.
While the majority of councillors supported the bill passing, many organizers rejected its premise entirely. Over 40 protesters wore red shirts to the debate on Thursday to express their disapproval. There were no disruptions while council was in session, but one protester was removed from the chambers after he interrupted a media scrum while councillors recessed.
Yeah, we think it's important that city councillors understand that there is a lot of opposition to this.
That's Louise Smith. She's an activist with Jews Say No to Genocide and a co-founder of the Coalition for Charter Rights and Freedom.
But it still feels like they are not listening to the voices of the people.
She sat in the council chambers all day waiting for the outcome.
So it's actually kind of shocking that it seems like council went out of their way to make this worse than what was proposed.
The coalition Smith belongs to is made up of different unions, climate change activists, Jewish Palestine solidarity groups, among others. She says the coalition formed to oppose the bill. Their stance is that the bylaw is unconstitutional.
It's blending together this idea that, you know, people are inconvenienced or uncomfortable because of protests, and that is a good enough reason to stop them from happening. And we know through history that actually protest is one of the ways that people who don't have access to the halls of power are able to have their voices heard. And so it's been essential for a lot of serious positive social change to have people being able to protest.
Where would the rights of Indigenous and Métis people be if it hadn't been for Louis Riel, if it hadn't been for the tragedy of Ipperwash, if it hadn't been for Gonasatagi? Every single right anyone in this chamber enjoys was won not by the Charter, it was won by protest.
Councillor Gord Perks gave a speech that seemed to move many in the audience at Council yesterday, touching on the foundations of the Canadian Charter. Perks was one of nine councillors to vote against the protest ban. He told the council room, rights are won by protest, assembly, and free speech. While many council members were concerned over whether the bylaw would hold up in court, he said it undermined the core of our democracy.
No government, no monarch, nobody has ever voluntarily stood up and said, you know what? We should just give people more rights. They're always won by protest. There's been a suggestion that we are somehow taking away the rights of one group to protect the rights of another if we allow protests to happen. And there's been conversation about faith-based institutions. Here's what your bylaw will do. There have been protests in front of churches multiple times by survivors of the residential school system. They have gone and sat on the steps of churches and encouraged people not to go in. If you pass that bylaw, you are saying they are wrong.
Toronto has a long history of protest around gay rights, trans rights, women's rights, civil rights, environmental rights. Like, all these movements rely on having a space where they can be heard when, you know, like, and even in the organizing around this, like the number of councillors who we called, who we never heard back from, it's very easy to hide in their offices and not have to pay attention.
Individuals who disregard the 50-meter no-protest zone will face fines up to $5,000. Police could also arrest people if they refuse to leave. Smith says she worries the passage of the new bylaw will make it harder for people to feel comfortable speaking out.
I think some people will be intimidated by this. The city and some of these councillors like to talk a lot about the psychological harm of protest. And now they've put people in a situation where even if you feel strongly about an issue, you might be afraid to come out and protest it because most people can't afford the time or the money or the stress of having to fight a charge if a charge is laid. And some of those people might decide, like, I'm just not going to take a chance and I'm not going to come out to something that's at these locations even when there's an injustice. And that's really a shame.
Our theme music is created and produced by Robert Johnston. This is Mia Johnson with the Local Journalism Initiative.